wake up. There's no sleeping in on Saturday. It's time for the Paul Santos Show on WBSM. Join Paul as he tackles local issues, current events, and fun conversations. Call 508-996-0500 or send Paul an app chat message on the WBSM app. Hey, hey, hey. Now, here's Paul Santos. What you got to say?
Jackson with the song Ben. This had to do with their pet rat. I'm not kidding. This was early 70s, so that caller that brought that up. I was going to play this earlier, then I'm thinking, well, how many people would really remember that? Well, I guess people do remember that. The Jackson 5, Michael Jackson with the song Ben about a pet rat. Well, I can remember a long time ago, it was actually popular to have pet gerbils. Remember that? They'd have these pet gerbils. And I know a gerbil is a very small rodent and so forth, but it always looked like a rat to me. I mean, it's like, why does little Jimmy have the pet gerbil there? I mean, what's the purpose of this? You know, I always thought they were kind of ugly. I mean, they were cuter than what rats look like, but they're still rodents. And I was thinking, well, wait a minute, I don't really like the looks of this thing. So it was popular to have pet gerbils. I don't know anybody that had a pet rat, but I know that gerbils were very popular amongst a lot of the kids. All right, back to the phones. Hello, you're on the air.
Good morning, Chief. How are you doing?
Good. How are you today?
Doing great. I got a funny rat story for you.
Uh-oh.
I used to work for CMAS and as a fire watcher for the welders. And one day, there was a scissor lift and this pretty good-sized rat. He's staring at me. I'm staring at him. And the funny thing about him, he had a blue eye, one blue eye. And this little sucker jumped right on top of my hard hat and jumped right on me. Man, did I panic.
Wow.
I got out of there quick. Also, there was another day. It was lunchtime. I grabbed my lunchbox. I opened my lunchbox, and a damn rat comes out of my lunchbox and eat my hard-boiled eggs.
Oh, that is nasty.
Yeah, they're everywhere over there at CMAS. It's been a few years since I've been there, but I just thought I'd share that with you.
Oh, that is gross. I don't know if anybody's getting ready to have breakfast. You might have to take a break for a second to think about that one.
Yeah, it was crazy.
All right.
But anyway.
Thanks a lot for the call. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello.
Yes.
The movie Ben. It's about a rat infestation. I went when it first came out, and people were screaming. I remember laughing at the people because they were jumping out of their seats.
So it's not about a pet rat?
It starts with a pet rat.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say the genre might be horror.
Okay.
You know, but not that bad.
Yeah.
But okay. I'm concerned about the other animals, the birds, the hawks, I see them circling. And if they try to eat those poisoned rats, they'll die too, right?
Well, I don't know. I suppose that, you know, exterminators know how to put out something that's going to go after the particular, you know, infestation that they're going for. They're trying to kill rats, not other species. So, I mean, I think they can put stuff that's particular to a particular species, but I don't know that.
Yes, I was wondering if the animal is poisoned. I know they tell you about mice, that cats will, cats outside, if you poison mice, if they eat the mice, they'll die.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if it would, like, disrupt the ecology of the land.
And the thing is, right, they're talking about, you know, cats, right? Some of these rats are bigger than the cats, so I don't know, the cats probably would have their hands full with rats as opposed to mice, you know?
Yes, they won't tangle with a rat. A rat will win.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
All right, thank you very much for the call. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Paul. How you doing?
Yeah, good. How are you today?
Great. Yes, I remember Ben,
Yeah, I'm of that age.
Yeah, right, exactly. I was thinking pretty much you'd have to be at least as old as us to remember right. it. Anybody younger than us probably wouldn't.
Yeah, wouldn't. It wouldn't be on their radar, that's for sure. But actually, that song was written for Donny Osmond, not even for Michael Jackson.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, I mean, that was a big thing because back then, if you remember, because we're around the same age, that was the big twosome. It was Michael Jackson and Donny Osmond, depending upon what genre you might be into.
Right. It's almost like a little rivalry, almost, the Jackson Five and the Osmond Brothers.
Exactly.
Right, exactly.
So the story goes that it was written for Donny Osmond, but he was out on tour. So they offered it to Michael Jackson because he was going solo at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So that wasn't a Jackson 5 hit. That was a Michael Jackson. That was his first hit, matter of fact, was Ben. That was his first solo album.
Yeah, I see it here. It's Michael Jackson. Album. Yeah, it's not the Jackson 5. It's Michael Jackson, exactly.
Right, because I remember, going through that, many years ago. It was pretty interesting reading about how that came about. And I believe the Ben was actually like a spinoff. Do you remember the movie Willard?
No.
Okay, another rap movie, basically.
They're coming out of the woodwork.
The premise behind the Michael Jackson movie was that he was sick, and he befriended the rat, Ben, who was the leader of the rat pack, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So that was interesting. Got to go back and watch the movie again. I did see it on one of the free outlets not that long ago. It's pretty interesting, but it really looks funny now when you think about it and you watch it now at this age.
Oh, yeah, right, exactly. Okay, well, thank you. Have a great weekend.
All right, have a good one. Bye.
Sounds like people still want to talk about rats. Hello, you're on the air.
Good morning, sir.
Yes, how are you?
Good. We could probably keep this related to rats, I guess.
Go ahead.
So I'm wondering how many people that contribute to political campaigns, not the you and I folks that give the 10, the 20, the 50 bucks. That's probably, here's some money to help you get elected. And we really don't have anything in particular that we're looking for in return other than appropriate representation, right?
Yes.
But I want to talk about the people who give, the limit, hundreds of thousands of dollars, big corporations. I wonder if, regardless of what political party you stand on or represent, do you think they want something in return when they give hundreds of thousands of dollars in contributions?
Of course.
So if this person, I don't know who it is, I looked up to see who Trump pardoned, gave $1 million, and I'm not even sure that's possible if you can do that with the limits that you can do.
Right.
And then someone he knows or a family member got pardoned, is that any different?
Is that any different? Okay.
Any politician accepting major amounts of money towards their election campaign?
Well, usually you'll see large amounts of money are given, and then when a particular piece of legislation comes up, the politician who, had the support of big money from a particular, say, company or something like that, really is leveraged into going along with the legislation. But to actually pardon somebody who got convicted, presumably in front of a jury with evidence beyond a reasonable doubt, just because of, willy-nilly kind of a thing, I mean, that's dangerous.
How about, pardoning someone before any of that ever happened?
Right, well, we just saw that. Yeah, exactly. Well,
advanced pardons.
Right, right.
I'm not sure if any of those people contributed to the former president's election campaign, but certainly there is reason to believe that that was done inappropriately as well.
Well, exactly. I would say, though, that from the perspective of the other side, they were looking at what was going to happen in this next term, that, people were being prosecuted for political reasons, and they were like, well, you know what? we're just going to in advance pardon these people because we know what's coming. And, you know, if the government really wants to railroad somebody, you know what I mean? They got a lot of power and they got a lot of resources.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely they can. And it goes both ways.
Yes.
You have to be careful some of the stuff that you do while you're in office, because the next people that come in behind you are going to do it and say, guy before me did it.
Well,
it was all right then.
Yeah, that's why, you know, you mentioned about, you know, I brought the Constitution out last week. You know, the thing is, if you got a president, an executive branch president that's doing things that you like, you're going to be like, the executive, he can do that. But then again,
if he does it,
you know, now next president, let's say the next president is liberal or left of center or whatever, he's going to say, well, the last president did this and that, I'm going to do it, you know? So really, if you look at the founding fathers, the president was supposed to be of limited power, you know? And actually,
we have a three branches of government,
yeah,
correct?
Yeah, exactly.
Checks and balances.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
and actually, if you look at these executive orders,
he's not a king.
Yeah,
right.
The executive orders are really, I mean, most of them are unconstitutional in my view. If you look at the Constitution, most of what is being done is really a power that Congress has, but Congress, you know, they're going along with them, you know?
Yeah. Well, executive orders, regardless of, you know, what side you sit on, they're become popular, I think, most recently. I mean, and everybody, a lot of them did them. But the number of them and how, you know, what they actually require, like the Trump administration right now is trying to take these executive orders that he thinks are important for the country and get them into law. That way there it's binding by law as opposed to an executive order really isn't.
Right. I think the frustration of the fact that you have Congress deadlocked all the time, you know, in the last, say, 15, 20 years, has frustrated whoever the president happens to be. And they start saying, well, you know what, Congress isn't going to do anything, so I'm just going to give an executive order and see how far that goes, you know?
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
It's the only other option when they can't get their laws passed. But that's how the Constitution was written, right? To have the executive branch, the judicial branch, and the legislative branch to keep everybody in check.
Exactly.
And it can be frustrating. It can be, you know, a slow grind. But that's why when you have the legislature, you know, has 51% of one side, they try to get a lot done.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really the way it's not a bad it, good or bad. People can have their different opinions, but that is how the Constitution was written. That's how our democracy is supposed
right.
to run.
And you know what? And I think it happened during the Democratic administration, you know, getting rid of the filibuster. In my view, that's a bad idea because that required 60 votes out of the Senate. And the only way you're going to get 60 votes out of the Senate is you got to have some compromise and some consensus. This 51,
well,
I mean,
that's a very good.
Yeah.
That's a great point,
yeah,
Paul,
yeah.
Where folks talk about let's eliminate the filibuster. Well, that's great when, you know, you don't have the majority.
Right. And then there'd be wild swings back and forth as soon as, you know, in the midterm, you're probably going to have.
4 years from now, you could be saying, that wasn't a very good idea, but we were the ones that did it.
Yeah, right. I mean, there's wild swings, too. If all you need is 51 votes, I mean, in the midterm, you're probably going to have the pendulum swing back the other way. And then maybe in the next election, I don't know, maybe the pendulum will swing back the other way. And then they can just undo everything this administration did if all you need is 51 votes. If you need 60, now you have to have that great deliberative process that the Senate was always known for. All right.
Yeah.
Well, have a great weekend. Appreciate the call.
All right, man.
Take care. Bye-bye. 508-996-0500. Let's see if I can get one more in here. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, Paul. How are you?
Good. How are you today?
Good, thanks. I was listening earlier to the pardon that Trump had given to the Chrisleys family, the husband and wife. And, you know, it really kind of baffles me with people, what they're saying. Like, to be honest with you, I was really happy that he pardoned that couple because I really think I get it that there was tax, invasion on that, all the, millions of whatever tax dollars or whatever that they owed. But if you really look at the amount of years that they were given, I mean, it's like that was out of control. I mean, when you look at what Martha Stewart got for insider trading and some other politicians that got some jail time for, tax evasion and, money laundering and everything else. The sentencing for these two was really, really out of control.
But the way you change that, though, is you change that by, changing the laws now.
Running
around pardoning people.
He probably looked at it that he didn't think the sentencing was fair. And I have to tell you, I think if it were me, I would be, because from the beginning, I've said that, and I know a lot of people, I've heard in the beginning a lot of people mentioning that, and I think they were made an example because of the program, the series that they had, because they were pretty well liked. And it was a pretty famous.
But if they broke the law and they swindled, swindled people out of millions of dollars. Wait a second. And then they violated the law and they had their trial and they lost and they got a sentence. And then, we don't really want the president going around and looking at all these different cases.
I get that. But the judge that did the sentencing, too, was he fair?
I didn't hear the whole case from beginning to end. I imagine you haven't either. We don't really know. I mean, when there's a crime, right, there's usually a parameter, not less than this many years and not more than that many years. And the judge who presides over the case hears the whole case from start to finish, and then the judge has the ability to give the sentence that the judge thinks is fair, listening to the whole case.
Let's look at the people that Biden pardoned before he left office.
Yeah.
He was pardoning somebody that was a murderer. He pardoned, whatever, all these with like these big long rap sheets, people that shouldn't even be pardoned. So was that okay?
Because
they didn't kill anybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, they didn't kill anybody. They didn't harm anybody.
I understand there's a difference between pardoning a murderer. Else. But the thing is, I just don't like the idea of the president, using the pardon. It used to be like, when President Ford pardoned Nixon, I think that was I don't know if that was the only pardon he ever did. I don't even know. Now it's like every other day is a pardon for this and a pardon for that and a pardon for this. And then when you trace the money back, a lot of times there was money given to that particular candidate. And in exchange for that, you can get out of a crime. That's to me, that's not right. If it happens on either side, it should be applied both. All right. Hey, thanks a lot for the call. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
All right. 508-996-0500. Yeah, I know it's going to be what about this and what about that and what about what this one did that and what about what that one did this. Well, that was a couple of years ago, a year ago. Now we're in this situation here. So we're taking each case one at a time. But, the general thought of the president just looking at cases and going, I think I'll pardon that one. He didn't preside over the case. He didn't listen to the case from start to finish. He didn't hear all the evidence. He didn't hear all the witnesses. And then if it turns out that, somebody in the family gave millions of dollars to his campaign, and in exchange for that, you can get out of doing a crime. That's why Citizens United was a bad decision. There shouldn't be money in politics the way that it is now, because, they'll say, well, that's the public square. Well, somebody that has $1 billion has $1 billion worth of free speech. And if you get two nickels to rub together, your voice in the public square isn't as loud as the billionaire or the millionaire who can give money and influence and so forth. So, we heard drain the swamp. I don't know. The swamp is getting worse than it was before. You just have to get big money out of politics. And I think that's the answer that would actually help the situation. All right, we'll get a break in here, then we'll be back with more on WBSM. We will be right back. You had told me a few years ago that I'd be on WBSM playing Snoop Dogg. I would have said, you are absolutely crazy. So there you go. Something a little bit different here as we wind things down. Ken Pittman will be along at 9 o'clock. To take you through the rest of the morning, of course, 12 to 1, Jose Matos, and then 1 to 4, Freedom Fools, with our libertarian leader here at WBSM, Brian Thomas. Before I get back to the phones, the president was getting into trouble with his buddies in Congress because the Trump tax bill which opens up a gigantic hole in the deficit. So I was challenging people who are deficit hawks. You know, how come you're not ranting and raving about the absolutely outrageous deficit that would happen when this bill was introduced? Then I thought to myself, you know, left and right, arguing back and forth the last couple of years, too bad we just couldn't find somebody, you know, who could get the deficit down to, say, one-fifth of what it is now, maybe go after terrorists and successfully deal with terrorists, and maybe, you know, deport dangerous criminals and do a great job doing that. Oh yeah, we did have a guy that did all that. Obama. Obama's deficit was $300 billion, not $3 trillion like this president. President Obama ordered the killing of bin Laden, took care of the terrorist. Also was called the deporter-in-chief because he was deporting everybody. So there you go. We had a guy like that a few years ago. Anyway, all right. Good morning. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
Yeah, good. How are you today?
You remember the other person that Obama had killed as well? He had an American citizen killed with a drone. Remember that one?
No, which one is that?
Oh, you got to look that one up. He was born in Colorado. He became a Muslim and went over to Afghanistan. And Obama had a drone strike committed to an American citizen. So.
Okay, you know, I don't know. I'll have to look that one up. Anyway.
Yeah, you should look that one up. Hey, yeah, I wanted to bring up one thing. So I know that we were talking a lot about the trials and tribulations of Donald Trump, which is fine because he's the president of the day, right? But the last president, January 19th, the last day he pardoned anyone, he pardoned his family, obviously. Yeah. And then he pardoned a couple of other infamous figures like Anthony Fauci. But let me read you what the pardon says in the short, the header.
Sure.
Anthony Fauci pardoned for any offenses against the United States which he may have committed or taken part in during the period of time from January 1st, 2024 through the date of this pardon arising from any or all manner related to his service as director of National Institute of Allergy Infection, blah, blah, blah. They had the same exact pardon for another infamous figure, Mark Milley, for any offenses he may have committed from January 2014, again, way before Biden's presidency, as related to being the Army chairman and leader of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And the last one I'll bring up to you is the final pardon that Biden did was who? It was for the entire member of Congress who served on the select committee investigating January 6th
People on the other side would say that there was a fear that these people were going to be railroaded.
Oh, there's a fear for things you did as a congressperson in a session of Congress to investigate the president for January 6th?
I'm just saying that, you know, the power of the government to go after somebody for political reasons is a scary thing, and that's their thought process. I'm not saying it was right, but I'm just, you know, giving you the thought process. What's that?
Wasn't that what January 6th was, the investigation? It was a political stunt because they didn't have any real Republicans on it.
Well, there were Republicans on it. There was a guy, Kinzinger.
Kinzinger, the crier. Crying Kinzinger, and you had
Kinzinger is the, he served in the military.
Oh, he's a crier. Yeah,
he didn't pretend he had something wrong with his feet, so he didn't have to go.
Doesn't give him a pass for being an idiot. But he also had a Liz Cheney, who is the GOP.
You don't think anything wrong happened on January 6th?
Oh, I think a lot happened wrong. I think when Ashley Babbitt got shot in the chest by a security agent, by the way, which was covered under this pardon, because the pardon for January 6th committee also covers everyone that was investigated, all the Capitol policemen. I think that's really interesting that they wanted to have this investigation to be bring things into the light. But then they had to have a pardon at the end of it because they were afraid of the things that they did that were illegal. I think it's funny. It's a two-way
street. I think the power of the president to pardon should be used very, very rarely, I think. You know what I mean? It shouldn't be something that every other day somebody's getting pardoned, whether it's this administration, the last administration, or the next administration.
Well, I didn't like when Trump, you got a visit from Kim Kardashian in the last administration, and they pardoned a person. Now, maybe that person should have been pardoned, but it was that happened in the middle of the administration, and it just happened because Kim Kardashian had enough gravitas to be able to meet the president. I couldn't do that. You couldn't do that.
Exactly. But, you know, you're getting back to that. I mean, you had Kinzinger, you had Cheney, Liz Cheney. I mean, hang on a second. Those people are more conservative than this president. You know what I mean? Like, these are hardcore policy-wise. They're hardcore right wingers. What's that?
They're cabal members, Paul. They're not Republicans or Democrats. They're part of the international cabal.
So if somebody somebody's conservative, and they disagree with what happened on that day, or they disagree with the president, then all of a sudden they're not Republicans anymore. They're as conservative. If you go right down the list of, you know, abortion or all of the items that would fit the right wing ideology, they're all hardcore right wing. Mike Pence is one. Maybe he wasn't on the January 6th committee, but you know, you got Liz Cheney, you got that guy Kinzinger, you got a whole bunch of them that are hardcore conservative right wing that, you know, took the position that was horrendous.
Most conservatives don't consider them part of the party. They dared
go against this president, so now they're not conservatives anymore. Actually, they're more conservative.
People that voted for him. You don't think about the voters. It's not the president. 73 million voted for him this election. Forget about the last election.
Well, so many million people voted the other side too, you know, or 80 million or wherever it was.
Well, that's debatable, but we'll leave
that's
it there.
Debatable. What do you mean? if your guy gets 75 million votes, the count's accurate, but if the other guy gets 80, it's not accurate.
Well, it's not that the count's not accurate. It's just that how many people can carry ballots and, you know, harvest ballots and change things. So that's been proven because that happened down in Bridgeport right now.
It was also proven that the company that had the voter machines got $700 million or $1 billion because of all the lies that were being said about their their accuracy. because of all of that. I know what I'm saying. So, you know,
balance off your liberalism.
No, it had nothing to do with it. I just, you know, it was a lawsuit. You know what I mean? So if the company that's giving me the information is shown to be giving me false information, that's going to concern me. You know what I mean? I would say.
There was a case, and you can look it up in Michigan. Mm-hmm. They were able to retain all the records from the voting machines because it's the only state that was allowed. And they did find that the machines were accessed in the...
This is Arizona election. You're talking about, right?
No. Okay. Michigan.
Okay, well, the Arizona one, you know, it's let's say you own that company. And you had that system set up beautifully, and just for political reasons, they went after you, saying that your voting machines were all messed up, and they really weren't. And you sued, and you won. You know, that's what happened.
That's what you do.
Isn't that what happened?
You sue.
Isn't that what happened?
Yeah, that's what happened.
Okay.
Yeah, ahead. You're a lawyer. You know that people sue all the time.
Well,
slip and fall, right? You know,
I don't do those kinds of cases.
I didn't say that.
Hey, before you go, do you have any comments on the rat thing? You know, people still want to talk about the rat thing, you know?
Well, I think some people were like nailing it earlier, which I think that the liability is on the company, because the company, just like the CMAS guy that called, he's like, oh, we knew about rats. They were in my, saying hi to me and jumping on my helmet. And well, you know, there's a point where the company and the management of the company has to take responsibility for an infestation that could potentially harm the general populace. Right. And I think that the company, Harvey, is doing a great job now, quote unquote, but the fact is they must have known for a long time this existed. It's just that the fire drove everything out. And it's been a long time since St. Patrick was around and could get his whistle out and drive all the rats and snakes out of Ireland. So I think
maybe we need more government regulation. the horror of the government stepping in. I can't believe it. You know.
Well, you should jump on this case because you can sue Harvey. You should go for it.
All right. Hey, thanks for the call. I always enjoy your calls.
See you later, man.
Have a good weekend. That's the guy that says if we went out and had a beer, we'd have a great time. I think he's right. I think we would. 508-996-0500. If you have anything else you'd like to say on any of the topics that we're talking about this morning, You've got Paul Santos till 9, and then Ken Pittman takes over here at WBS. All right, the great Earth, Wind, and Fire here at WBSM. Oh, yeah, I like that music of that era. It's probably my favorite, although I like music of all different eras, but I think that one might be my favorite. Good morning. You're on the air.
Paul Santos, good morning. It's a pleasure.
Yes.
Hey, I got a question for you. I've heard you say time and time again, just with this new food stamp thing that came up where they chopped a whole bunch of stuff off the list. And I kind of agree with that because people were abusing the system. They're living off it for 30 years. The program wasn't designed for that. So I actually do agree with that. But you bring up something about, and I agree with you, people out there collecting Social Security checks, saying they're nervous and all that. But do you honestly believe all those people that you're thinking that are saying they're nervous are really playing a game, or it's just you're not seeing their symptoms?
Oh, yeah. And to me, there's a lot of abuse. You're talking about disability, people saying that they have anxiety and this kind of thing. Yes, I think it's an exaggerated situation, and I think people are taking advantage of that diagnosis.
Yes. I agree with you, but I don't think some of the people that are being judged always show symptoms. It's mm-hmm. real tricky. It depends on the illness, too.
So you think that people are really, suffering from anxiety, and maybe it's not a situation where people are taking advantage of it?
I think some are, and mm-hmm. I think some are out there right. And drinking and misusing the funds. But you know what? That's why they should be drug testing these people and doing more reviews.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, there's no question that there are some it's legitimate. I'm not saying that they're all illegitimate, but I do think a lot of people are taking advantage of that, you have anxiety. I think everybody, hasn't everybody had anxiety at some point in their life?
Yeah, but there's more to it than just that. I mean, there's people with certain illnesses, and they mm-hmm. don't always show signs, they flare up and they go into remission and they flare up. In fact, a lot of people do try to go back to work to like mass rehab and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And either it works out or it doesn't work out. And then you can try again. So, I was just wondering your stance on that, because I find that funny too.
Well,
we get people on checks out there, booting fentanyl in their arms. Why are they giving them money to do that?
Yeah, that's a whole nother problem. You're talking about the opioid crisis. How do you handle the opioid crisis? Yeah, I mean, that's a real difficult one.
Or the drug crisis or the crack crisis. They're getting government money to get high.
Yeah.
And they did something about that in the 90s when Clinton was president, because people were drinking. The alcohol was out of control, I guess.
And well, we had the crack epidemic, too, which, really shot the crime rate up,
Yeah, and they took that privilege that if you didn't have a mental illness and you just had a substance abuse issue, you no longer qualified for Social Security or disability.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you very much for the call. Call again and have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Yep. All right. Back in a moment with more of the show on WBSM. And on the side and everything. We have so much fun with this show. I can't even tell you. We're actually taping one this Monday night, 7 o'clock at Mikey B's, if you want to sit in the audience and have a few laughs. But this show is non-political. I have viewers from all different political perspectives, and it's sort of to get away from, discussing these serious issues, which this is a great place to do that. But that show is to get away from it. But anyway, tomorrow morning, I have a great singer, Erica Abney. She sings down the Cape. She is absolutely terrific. We have Mark Masters, who is a traveling headlining comedian who is really from Colorado. And he loved being on the show before, to the point where he made a point to come on again. David Poyant, who is a local artist, and he does this embroidery. And the thing took off, and now he's nationally and worldwide known, David Poyant. So he was on the show, too. And then Allison Dian, who used to be my comedy director, she came back and made an appearance. And we have Joanna Raposo, who is my comedy director. We have Ronnie Caldair, who is the director of the band. with outstanding saxophone player Artie DeMello and Melissa, who sings in the band, the PSL band, we call it, the Paul Santos Live Show Band. So you got to check this out. Tomorrow morning, 10:30, ABC 6. The name of the show is supposed to be up there, but Channel 6 has all paid programming on Sunday mornings, and for whatever reason, they just haven't been able to get the name of my show up there lately. But I guarantee you, it's there 10:30 a.m., right before the Catholic Mass. And it's always a lot of fun because we have a segment with Jim Casey. We call him Crazy Casey. He's like our own Foster Brooks. Remember Foster Brooks on the Dean Martin roast? Well, anyway, Crazy Casey comes on right at the end, and then a couple of commercials comes on, and then it goes right into Monsignor Avila and the Catholic Mass. So we go from Crazy Casey right into the Mass. So it's really great television on a Sunday morning. You start with Good Morning America, and then you kind of roll into the Paul Santos Live Show, and then right after that, at 11 o'clock, you have the Catholic Mass. Good morning. You're on the air.
Oh, morning, Paul. Hey, yeah, you caught me just in time finishing up making coffee here.
Perfect.
So that'll work out fine.
How do you take your coffee?
Usually black, but maybe a little cream.
That's the way you're supposed to do it. I have to put in the cream and sugar, which I know makes it a bad thing, right? You're supposed to drink it black.
That's what somebody was just saying on the radio the other day, too. That, but, yeah, I was lucky. My daughter fixed me up with honey and goat milk. Oh, that was real good. But, yeah, I heard the previous caller talking about the drug situation. Years ago, before, well, heroin's been a problem for many years, but SSI would allow alcoholics to be on SSI because it was more expensive for society to have somebody laying in a gutter, you know, crapping themselves and... you know, unsightly to the neighborhood, it was better to have them get a rooming house and do that in a rooming house than it was to do it on the street. And you put them in prison, you put them in, and that's far more expensive than it, you know, than it is to have them do it in the privacy of their own life. Mm-hmm. But to get them off of alcohol or off of heroin or, you know, the various drugs, but seeing the other day that Donald Trump has now given pardons to the Sacklers, who are the people that had oxycodone. And now the other day he gave pardons to, let's see, who was it? The El Chapo family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, El Chapo, the people that they're smuggling across the border. And then he gave pardons to, there was another big drug. Pardon he did just the other day.
Yeah, you know, the thing is, right, I wanted to bring it up because I know then it starts to get real hyper polarizingly political. And so, you know, what tends to happen is like, well, you know, I think this was a bad idea giving out these pardons. What about when last guy gave a pardon? Oh, when Bill Clinton gave a pardon? How about that guy gave a pardon? You know, hey, the point is that I don't think the executive should be dishing out pardons like candy, whoever the president is.
Well, before Election Day, he was caught on tape talking about selling pardons for $1 million apiece.
you mean corruption? Nah.
Yeah, and so the whole idea that the biggest criminals in the world, if they come up to a, you know, that they have so much money that they can hand out $1 million to get indulgences.
Right, well, how about when he said that he was going to, you know, if you give $1 million, we'll give you a visa?
Well, he was going to have the $5 million gold pass for America.
Right, I mean $5 million. Yes, $5 million. Right, yes, exactly.
Yeah. So
that's a little bizarre.
What does that mean? That some people are more equal than others? That's straight out of 1984, wasn't it? Or Brave New World?
Yeah, absolutely. Money in politics. I don't know how you get it out of there because the people who have the money like the fact that you can buy politicians and influence them and so forth. But really, for the rest of the people, for the rest of us, you know, our voice isn't getting heard, regardless of what side you're on, you know?
Well, you know, the one thing I was going to remind people of, and this gets right to... You know, just before New Year's Day, Trump This is after Election Day, but before New Year's, Trump all of a sudden announces he wants to take the gold of America and buy Bitcoin with it, mm-hmm. and then play some sort of a shuffle, the Ponzi schemes with Bitcoin, and then he's going to balance America's budget with Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. Well, where did the gold go in the meantime? Mm-hmm. So the idea that Donald Trump is basically doing... He's ruining the U.S. dollar with his tariffs, and he's playing games with it. Back in 1776, when the Patriots were using the Continental dollar and the British counterfeited the Continental, there was the old expression, it wasn't worth the Continental. And so the Patriots, rather than give up, came up with 13 new designs, 13 different money for the 13 colonies, mm-hmm. and they whooped the British, and then they came up with a U.S. dollar.
Okay.
So I think that in the long run, we're going to have to change out the money to a patriotic money as opposed to what Donald Trump and Elon Musk want us to use.
Okay.
That way, all of a sudden, Elon Musk is no longer the richest man in the world, and they're going to have to work on their own.
All right. Well, I appreciate the call. I want to get one more in before I wrap it up this morning. Thanks very much for listening, and have a great weekend. Okay. Hello. You're on the air.
Good morning, Paul.
Hey there.
How's it going?
How's it going with you?
I'm hanging in there.
You're the closer. You're the to save the best for last.
I was the opener, remember?
Yes, you were the first person that called me on my show, right?
Yeah.
So you're the opener and the closer.
Yeah, I was looking at those pictures of Johnny Damon. I got to get him enlarged.
Oh, yeah. You know, she's referring to an event with Johnny Damon. Came to the Venus de Milo a few weeks back as part of One South Coast Chamber, and we all took pictures with Johnny Damon. It was a lot of fun. It was really great seeing him.
Yeah, I got to ask you a question about the rats before you close.
Sure.
What's the status on them? Where have they been seeing them?
Because
I tuned in late.
Yeah, well, I haven't been seeing them. I don't think people have really seen them. I mean, one person said that, you know, it's an issue down by the hurricane dike. I think they're running around in the hurricane dike. Another caller said that they had relatives that thought they saw one somewhere in the middle of the city. But it sounds like there's been a really good response to the Shaman Avenue area, because I've been up there and I haven't seen any. And I think they've got the thing under control. They've got, you know, exterminators up there. They got the health department. There's an investigation that's going to go to determine, you know, what happened so it doesn't happen again. So it seems to me that the city response has been pretty good.
Maybe they scattered to different spots already, though.
Yeah, I don't know. You live in the middle of the city?
Yeah, the West End more.
You don't see any rats over there, dear?
I haven't seen any yet. That's why I'm telling you. I'm looking.
You're looking.
I got my eyes peeled.
All right. Well, I'm going to get one more in, but thank you very much for listening.
Hey, have a nice weekend.
We'll talk to you next week, hopefully.
Yeah.
Hello, you're on WBSM.
Good morning, Mr. Santos. I'll be 20 seconds, I promise.
Okay.
This is Firefighter Anthony.
Yes.
Car station C checkpoint today for all the kids in New Bedford. If you parents want to bring your car to 1421 Cove Road, the Pinnacle Auto Sales, we'll be doing free car seat safety checks from 11 to 2, free pizza, Sparky's there, and also your brother or sister station, Fun 107, will be there.
All right, so what is the time and the location one more time?
The time and the location, we have 11 to 2 p.m., 1421 Cove Road, Pinnacle Auto Sales, free car seat safety checks.
All right, sounds good. All right, thanks very much for the call. Have a great weekend.
It's always a pleasure. Have a safe day.
Thank you very much. Hello, you're on the air. Hello? I was trying to squeeze one more call in there. I thought two callers ago was going to be the last call, and then all of a sudden the phone started lighting up over here. Well, we have about maybe a minute and a half left, so I guess we're running short on time. Ken Pittman will be coming up here in a few moments. I can tell the difference between somebody that's been doing this for a long time and myself. I started this shift at 7 o'clock, so I'd be like getting up at 5 in the morning. Then I'm like, I don't have to get up at 5. Maybe I'll get up at 5:15. And I get up at 5:15. I'm like, I probably don't have to get up at 5:15. I'm going to get up at 5:30. So then what's going to happen is I'm going to be getting up at 6:45 and just coming in here at 6:02 and go on the air. Ken always seems to come in at the last second because he's like an old pro, you know? Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
Good. You got about 1 minute.
All right. Hey, I drove down Shoreman Ave last night around 8:30, and they were everywhere.
No, sir. Yeah, 8:30 at night last night, huh? Yeah. I drove by there on the way in here this morning, as a matter of fact, because I got up a little early. I didn't see anything. You're talking about Shoreman Avenue going right to the airport.
Yes, sir.
What time was this? 8:30?
Yeah, 8:30. I left Market Basket. Me and a wife went by there. We ended up running over two.
I don't know anything about rats. Do they tend to come out like right at dusk like that?
Oh, my God. They were terrible. They were everywhere.
Oh, all right. Well.
All different sizes, too.
Okay. All right. Thanks for the update. All right. Well, gee, I'm surprised. I went up there, but again, I guess I didn't go up there at the right time. But it seems like the city is trying to respond. The health department is trying to respond. There is going to be an investigation. So hopefully the situation can be rectified. Don't forget, tomorrow morning, 10:30, ABC 6, the Paul Santos Live television show. And we love to joke around. Erica Abney, great singer. Mark Masters, who is a comedian. David Poyon, a local person who came up with this idea to do